Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and tonight I'm here with my guest Yuri from Diffie. Hi, Yuri, good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can you share a bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Yuri Gerasimov. I'm a longtime Drupal developer. My time starts at Drupal 5, 6 versions. I used to work in agencies for all my career, and also I started Diffie. That is the visual regression testing tool. So what we do, we help development teams to have less visual bugs on their websites. And by that, I mean we take screenshots of the pages and compare them later so you know exactly where things changed and how.
Yeah, I can see in your Drupal.org profile that you've got 15 years and 11 months. So it's almost 16 years with your Drupal.org profile, which is pretty good. And you've got a whole list of presentations and some DrupalCon presentations on there as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward to get back to DrupalCons. I didn't participate since the COVID times.
Yeah, I was in Lille. I was speaking about Lille about automated testing and TDD, but I missed a couple. I think there was Prague before that. My last one before that was Amsterdam. So that might have been that was before or after. I can't remember, but yeah, I think it's Barcelona this year. So I'm hoping we'll see whether we can maybe get to Barcelona because that was fun the last time.
Sure.
Cool. Right. So if you just jump straight into the topic then. So visual regression testing is what we want to be talking about. So how do you define, you've already mentioned about screenshots already. So is it just, that simple? Do you just take a screenshot of a before and after and compare the two? Or I'm assuming there's a bit more to it than that.
Yes, it's usually sounds very simple on the surface, like taking screenshots is not a new problem. I think what makes it more difficult is when you start dealing with false positives. And that means that you can have a website, imagine you have ads or you have slideshows, or you have some other dynamic elements that can change over the time, even between you take the screenshots, even before and after deployment. And that's the tricky part, because when you compare the images, it doesn't matter what changed. It just compare the pixels on the screen. So if it's just a different position of the slider or ad changed, it will highlight you the change. And what we try to do, we try to deal with those by a lot of different tools. So the most basic are the removal elements, masking them, and there are more advanced, like we can stabilize the screenshots by freezing all the videos and slideshows and everything. And that's what a lot of visual regression testing tools do. We just specialize more on Drupal cases because we know what slider libraries are popular in Drupal, and we know how cookie pop-up shows up on the page, and we can remove them by default, so you don't need to do anything there. And same thing with WordPress. Even though there are a wider variety of things there, but we still try to do a lot of things behind the scenes so our users don't need to.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, if it's like a video, because the video is going to change after like a second
Absolutely.
or a split second. So
Oh, yeah.
technically, yeah, that's a difference. So that it's going to potentially flag up and say that something has changed, when in fact it's just a video playing or a slideshow moving, as you said.
Exactly. And also there are cases when people have a hard time of synchronizing the content between the environments. So you can imagine that on production there was a new article that showed up in the list, and then of course it shifts all the content down and you have the whole page highlighted. For these cases, we even built the tools that you can mock the content. So you can provide selectors of your elements that is the content of the article, and then we will replace it with lorem ipsum text. So it will be exactly the same across multiple environments, and it doesn't matter what original content was there.
Yeah, that's
So there were
interesting.
a lot of edge cases and a lot of tools that were built throughout the life of Diffie.
So you're comparing sort of staging to production, like different environments to each other, or are you testing the same environment over time? Sort of the, are you testing production every 10 minutes or something? How does that work?
Right. So there are a lot of use cases for a tool like that. The most basic is yes, if you, let's say, have staging environment on some hosting, let's say Pantheon as an example, you have your test environment and you deployed your new code, you sync the content from production. You want to check if everything is all right before you push to production. So you will compare the test environment with production. That's like the most basic thing. Another still basic thing is that you would like to take screenshots before and after deployment. Sometimes people have, they don't want to expose test environments or dev environments, or there are some regulations around it. Imagine some governmental agencies, they don't want to expose anything outside because our workers are on Amazon infrastructure. They need to have public access to the site, right? So what they will do, they will take screenshots before they do the deployment on production and then after.
Okay.
Of course, it's if you have a bug, then you are playing against the time because you need to catch it and fix it right away. It's already in production, but still we have more confidence that your deployment was successful and you know what the issues were. But there are more things to that. Visual testing can be used in content migrations. So imagine you have a website of, let's say, a couple of hundred pages, and you do migration. Usually, when you run migrations, it's not like you migrate all the content at once. You migrate maybe some assets, some block types, some page types, etc. So it would be nice for you to check all those pages once you run every cycle of migrations to see what was improved, what new images were migrated, what new blocks were migrated, etc. So you take screenshots from hundreds, thousands pages at once and compare them with the previous run. And this way you can ensure that, okay, we added this images type, but we didn't damage anything about the that type of block that uses something else. So that was also a pretty nice use case for visual regression testing in general. And then usually I recommend it to be run or when the teams are small and the number of sites is large. So you can think about higher education, where web services team is like three, four, or five developers, and they need to manage hundreds of websites. And those websites can be running on the same distribution. And when they roll out the updates to the distribution, it's pretty tricky to check all the hundreds of websites. So this is where some automation like Diffie can be really helpful, especially if you have a lot of variety between the sites. Like you might have different themes, you might allow CSS injection or JavaScript injection. This is where things can be very, very tricky if you need manually to check that nothing got broken.
Yeah.
Another use case that I've seen for visual regression testing is checking the components. So that's a more modern technique. So building themes when you build components first and you can store them on some library like PatternLab, like Storybook. You can build the pages in Drupal with all the components. So in that case, you can test with the visual testing, not the live site, but the essentially like style guides. And then after you tested the style guides, you can also test implementation them in the CMS. So that's another very useful use case for visual testing.
It's good, but yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, I do Fractal. It's the template actually that I usually use, but it's the same idea as Storybook and Pattern Lab. So we're building components, usually using atomic designs of approaches with atoms and molecules, and build those up into pages. But then you're right, there's nothing that's then necessarily automatically comparing those to the live site. So that's an interesting approach. And then I just had a light bulb moment as well that. My most of my background from a testing perspective is Drupal automated testing, so PHP unit testing or Behat testing at a Drupal level. The nearest thing I can think of to this is functional browser testing, which does take screenshots as it's doing things, but it's not comparing them to each other. But then you can see if there's an error, or you can see what's on the page to see why a test failed, or something like that. But what I've sort of just realized in my brain is that I can still do then an assertion that says that the response contains some text or doesn't contain some text or contains some HTML. But that's nothing to say that, the text is in the right place on the page. It could be 500 pixels to the right from where it was before, but technically my test would still pass because the correct wording or the correct text is there. Whereas something like a visual regression tool would identify that the text is in a different place on the page now, in theory.
Yes, absolutely. And
Okay.
it's this paradox of your laser focus, because like you're a developer, you're getting obsessed with functionality. But when you think about your customers, I mean, they really like their homepage to look great, stable all the time. So what they do first when you ask them to test, they just browse through multiple pages in different browse breakpoints at least, and check if everything looks good. And then they start testing functionality. When developers, they do vice versa. They are overly excited about that particular scenario that they just built, and they test it. Everything looks good, good to go. But this is where disaster comes, because at some point you break layout of some page that you didn't check. And this is where visual testing is very useful.
Yeah, Starro has sprung to my mind. I'll be a little bit vague about it, but working on a project that translates text between English and Welsh, and the Welsh, we'd send English text off to a service, and then we get a translated version of it back. And let's just say that sometimes the English text or the text that we get isn't always brilliant because it's coming from a WYSIWYG editor or something. When we've sent that off to be translated, it's all done through machine translation. I've had an instance where it's been broken, so like the EM tag or strong tag is the wrong way around or something, and it broke the layout of the page. So that everything after this particular string is now bold and italic and emphasized, and now because the actual HTML structure is now broken, anything after that part of the page is now broken and looks wrong. But again, my test, if I was writing an automated test for this, like it would still pass because the text is still there and it's in the right language and it's showing the right text apart from potentially the tags being in the wrong order or missing or whatever little nuance it is that was breaking it. Whereas Diffie would or some other sort of similar tool would catch that, I suppose. And these come in on a daily basis as well. So it might be fine might be fine yesterday, but then today it's now broken for some reason. So having a tool that would be checking that on a daily or an hourly basis as well as doing it like, oh, we know we're doing a release today. Is it still right? Having something checking that page and then flagging that there's something that's broken, that would be really useful actually.
For sure, for sure. Similar situation with the regular checks is happening more often in WordPress world, where they have automated updates. So a lot of companies, when they do maintenance of the websites in large scale, like hundreds of websites, what they do, they set up automatic updates to happen every weekend. And the way they use visual testing is that every Monday or Sunday night, we run the fresh sets of screenshots, we compare them with the last week, and then we see what changed during the week. A lot of cases it's just the content, but in some cases it can be that site got broken because of the updates. So similar thing. You would like to see the changes. Another interesting scenario that I heard people were using is that also they can check their content teamwork, because they expect things to happen at certain times of the week, new content being published, etc. Again,
Okay.
screenshots on large scale can show you that, yes, that happened, and this is where the changes were, and that's was expected way, or there were some problems with the content editorial team. So applications can be different for the visual testing. But it all comes down to taking stable screenshots and comparing them, and then you can use it in different ways.
Yeah, of course we're getting this an automated updates initiative in Drupal as well. So that'll be coming soon. And I sort of wondered about how that works from a technical perspective, you know, if you're managing your code base through Git and Composer or using a tool, hosting platform that has read-only access. So I'm a little bit unsure about how that works for my particularly use cases in general. But yeah, I can see how a tool would be great.
Yeah, what I've seen, like one of, well, quite a few actually agencies done even for Drupal already. So you have these tools like Dependabot and others that can check if your Composer has any updates because you have Composer log file where all the versions are fixed, right? So what they do, you can check, let's say, every week or whatever regular cadence you like, and you check if there are any updates. You automatically spin up a separate environment. You deploy the site there. You roll out all the updates. And then you can run the visual testing against some test environment. So, in this way, you have some automation with the updates, and you can see on a regular basis, like, hey, there was the, I don't know, web forms module update from version X to version Y. We found no changes. It's like you're good to go and you can merge. Of course, you will test functionality afterwards, but at least the first step, like the visual changes, you can do automatically. And then if something is wrong, even on visual level, then of course you are not safe to update your site.
Yeah, I had Eric from Brandlinist on recently. We talked a lot about automated updates from that perspective with like the Dependabot thing where it's like submitting pull requests back to your project and with updates. So yeah, that was a really interesting conversation. Obviously with automated tests, it seems like the functional tests or unit tests, you can add them into a CI pipeline, a continuous integration pipeline, and it will give you an error then if it's failed. How does Diffie or does a how does that report back if there's been a problem? Is that
Right,
something that
so
happens in a pipeline or so how does
yes,
that
it.
work?
Absolutely. So it all comes down to what system you're using. I think the best integration we have so far is with the GitHub because we have a GitHub check. Idea is that you can set up Diffie to be triggered by your pipeline. And when you do that, you can connect your Diffie project to GitHub repository. And the way it works is that when you trigger Diffie job in your pipeline, you need to specify the commit hash of your pull request, and then Diffie knows with a GitHub check where to post results back to. And then you get a really nice check in your pull request with the results from Diffie. And what we do is that if you had any changes, they will be highlighted, so the check will be red. And then you can go inside of the comparison and mark the changes as they are okay or they are bugs. And if you marked everything is okay, the check in GitHub will be turned green again. That's the most native integration with the CI systems. We do similar things with Bitbucket and GitLab where we can post the comment with the comparison results, but it's not as nice as with GitHub checks because there you can see the changes with once you've done the review, you see that, okay, your check is green now, you're good to merge.
So we could have a similar sort of situation where if I was using something like Violinist, that creates a pull request in GitHub, and then that will also then have Diffie testing it as well, and have both those two things working together.
Yeah,
And yeah,
absolutely. The only thing
it's
that you
interesting.
need to have is that you need to build an environment for that pull request. So this is where you would need some tool like Tugboat or maybe Pantheon Multidev or Platform SSH environments, like something that will
A
assemble the full
URL that you can
configuration.
test against.
Exactly. And then this URL is passed to Diffie. We have CLI tool that helps you to have all the integrations. So essentially, it's just in your pipeline, you download the CLI tool and you authenticate with the key, and then you trigger the job passing URL and passing the commit hash.
Okay. Very interesting. Looking at the Diffie website, it actually says it's used by the Drupal core team for the umami distribution. That's really interesting.
Yes, it was used at the Drupal 8 times when Umami was built. Team, I think the setup was that for pull request with Platform SH, we spun up environments and then they were tested against the main branch. So yeah, we had some interesting work happening at that time.
That's really, really interesting stuff. Let's see. Look around. I was going to mention something else, and it's got out of my brain. What was it? Doesn't help when kids walk in the middle of doing a conversation. What was I going to ask about? Damn it! Hate it when this happens. Oh yeah, sorry. So, does it only? Do you only support Drupal and WordPress with Diffie, and or is it? Does it work with any software in particular?
It will work with anything that will be rendered in the browser. Like we have no problems. It's more we need to be specific in terms of the marketing and the approach. So Drupal and WordPress are primarily markets for us right now, but we had some projects that are not the CMSs and that run successfully. We just know more Drupal and WordPress because of my background and our team's background. So we talk much better language with Drupal developers, let's say, comparing to people who build React apps. Because we know all the hostings, we know all the integrations, like all the CI tools that are common. That helps a lot. But on technological level, it's same headless browsers that run in the cloud, and it doesn't matter what website they render.
Yeah, just when you were explaining it a minute ago with the CI pipe, I was something like, is there a Drupal module or a WordPress plugin that you need to set up? But I can't see how, like, if it's long, as long as you've got a URL to point it at, then yeah, I assume that there's not that level of integration. It's just literally looking at URL and going, does it match from before, I suppose. So yeah, in theory, I guess it could be anything.
It could be anything. In terms of the more native integrations, we do have WordPress plugin because in WordPress you can click a button and run the updates on your website. Meanwhile, it's not that popular thing, thankfully, because usually updates are happening through the hosting environment. So a lot of hosting platforms they allow you to run the updates from their UI, and this is where plugin is not getting triggered. So you need to have integration on the hosting level.
Yeah, there's an update tab in the Drupal app menu, why isn't it? But I think I always turn it off because I'm not, all the hosting I use is always read-only anyway. I think most of the big Drupal hosts are all read-only, so you can't do anything anyway. Although I did have a client who hosted it on their own server, and then somebody logged in to the site with some sort of admin permission, and it said, "Your site is insecure. Click here to update," and they did, and then it broke everything. So that was interesting. So
Ouch.
this is why I usually turn it off.
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen. But I heard stories where agencies were actually not giving admin rights to this site or like to their clients just for that reason. So
Yes.
yes, you can edit anything. Here's your admin role that is not user number one.
Yes.
But we are not allowing you to go and change configuration of the views because you can just break them. So it really depends on how technical client is and how comfortable you're giving all the rights there.
Yeah, agreed. I think it was a legacy project that I inherited, so there are lots of permissions that I probably wouldn't have given them. But in that scenario, if there is a way of triggering Diffie from inside WordPress or potentially from Drupal as well, what is it testing against? Because in theory, I suppose it would need to do the update to then check it. Like if it was to do the update in place and then it failed, what would then happen? What is that, or is that not how it works? What is it diffing against if you're doing it through WordPress itself?
With WordPress, it was possible because when you run the updates, you could take screenshots before and after.
Okay.
In Drupal, because we don't do it through Drupal, I don't see Well, if
Sort of
we
rolls
have a
back if there's a
brainstorming
problem.
session, maybe what you could do, as an example, you could go to your staging environment and click a button from Drupal to take screenshots, and then you would see those screenshots in Diffie as from staging environment. But we build the tool in the way that you don't need to hook CI or do anything in order to start taking screenshots. You just provide URL in the project settings of Diffie and you're good to go. And you just need to click one button in Diffie to start creating screenshots. So it's way more comfortable doing that there versus building some module that's only for admins, and admins will need to log into the site and click the button there. We have quite a lot of clients who are not as technical as developers using Diffie. So it's all built for, it will not require you to hook up any CI systems to start using the tool. Essentially, you just need to build a list of URLs that will help you as well by crawling your site. And then you can provide your basic production URL, staging URL, maybe basic authentication, and you can start using the tool. So that's another benefit of using SaaS platform versus building something on your own, because you would need to have some developer efforts over there.
Interesting. Yeah, I think so. I know some of the other types of projects I've done, more sort of static sites or more front end focused ones, a lot of them have a deployment URL or some sort of temporary one that you could be testing it against in the interim before it was live. So yeah, I can see how that would work. Reading through some of your blog posts quickly whilst we're talking. Two different ways to use baseline in your visual regression test process. What's a baseline?
Right. So the baseline images is usually referred to kind of like images taken from your production environment or something where you compare all the other environments against it. So baselines are usually used in few scenarios. So first scenario is when you don't want to spend time for your pull request to take screenshots from production again and again and again. So instead of for each pull request, you take fresh sets of screenshots. You take fresh sets of screenshots only from your pull request environment, and then you compare them with your baseline that can be taken, let's say, from your test environment. Because you take the content snapshot from your production to test, and then from test, you pull the database to your builds. And in this way, you save half of the time for the visual regression testing because you don't wait for another set of screenshots to be taken. So that's one major use case for the baselines. And then there's another one when you are building different features in different branches, and you want your baseline to consist of essentially screenshots from different environments. Let's say you're building homepage on one feature branch, and then you're building About Us page from another feature branch. And whenever they are ready, you can appoint, okay, these are the screenshots, even though they are from custom environment, they are going to be approved as the baseline. So all the other pull requests, if they have this page, they will be compared to the baseline. Again, it helps you to keep the reference screenshots like tight because you manually approve them every time. And then it helps you to save time in the testing process, because taking screenshots, it does take time. You want to have some delays so all your JavaScript and CSS is loaded. You want to scroll the page so all the images that are lazy loaded are there. Maybe you want to click little things to expand pop-ups, whatever you like, these little micro actions. You want to do them. So every screenshot might take 30, 40 seconds, maybe up to a minute. And if you're running 100 pages in three breakpoints, it can easily be like 5, 6, 10 minutes. Even if you run it with 10 browsers or 20 browsers, you don't want to overload your servers either. So saving another 5 minutes on the test runs, it does make a difference.
Just sign up for an account while we're here. Actually, there's a free 14-day trial, so just go ahead and sign up while we've been speaking. It's a really easy onboarding process, actually. It was just I had to put my username and password in, and then it said, "Are you an agency? Are you a?" There's a couple of questions that I had to fill in: what are you trying to achieve, or what do you want to accomplish, and put in my site URL, which is just a static site, and yeah, it's created and it's scanning at the moment. So I think I've set it up to scan every week or something. So yeah, a little every day. So we'll see how that goes. I'm waiting for my screenshots to be generated. So really,
Sure.
really easy onboarding process, actually.
There are always a lot of things you can improve, right? But yes, we try to make things much, much simpler, so people can start using things right away. And again, if you will need more time for your trial, let me know. I'm happy to extend it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I've got a list of screenshots. It's found the first, it's found about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Yeah, about 15 pages. I'm sure there's more than that, but I'll have a look. But yeah, I'm gonna have a bit of an experiment with this tool and see what I can do with it. So it's got all my light mode page. It's a way of having it work on, like, my site supports dark mode as well. Is the way to have it generate light mode and dark mode screenshots, because I found that to be a problem before, where I don't always test in both myself. Could I do both? Is there a way of me setting that up?
I think not out of the box, but we can. I need to check how to trigger the dark mode. I'm pretty sure it's a setting that you can apply. Maybe if you have on your website a toggle somewhere to switch between them, then what we could do, we could create a separate project where we will click on that toggle every single time before we take the screenshot, and then you will get your screenshots in dark mode. Yeah, I can take a look at it into it after the call.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, I guess the other thing I could try and do is do like a pre-parameter and like theme equals dark or something, and then set up a separate project for that with a different URL. So yeah, that could be quite interesting. Yeah, I don't ever see my site in light mode. So it's quite interesting to see it, because usually all my stuff is dark mode. So yeah, that's really interesting. I'll have a look at this, and yeah, I'm sure there's a few use cases I've thought of that spring to mind from this, particularly the Storybook Fractal Pattern Lab integration, because I'm doing a lot of that, and it could be interesting to see how the two compare. And yeah, I can definitely see the use case for automated updates, because that's something that's been concerning me. Like, how do we know things that work after an automated update has happened? So I can see that working. And I guess, yeah, content migrations, as you mentioned, like, if you imagine creating a lot of content, I mean, something checking that would be extremely useful.
For
Oh, very
sure.
interesting. I can see it being like an extra layer. So I've got unit tests, kernel tests, functional tests, and now having some sort of visual tool on top of it. Yeah, it would be really interesting.
Yeah, the good part with visual testing is that it's very easy to get started, like extremely easy. You just provide basic information about your site and you're good to go. So whenever you start a new project or you want to just to check an update, you don't need to write the PHP unit tests and have CI to run it, etc. It's a lot of investment that you need to do upfront just to get a very, very basic coverage. With visual testing, you're in pretty good shape in, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And if you want to set up automation, maybe another hour. With my help, it will be another 15 minutes, but it's something that you can set up in a day. Of course, it covers only the visuals, but still, it's a big part. That's what your client's testing every single time you do the changes.
I suppose if there was some sort of error message as well coming up on the screen, it would also pick up on that as a difference. So you could even have the screenshot of with the sort of some sort of error message in, which would help people
Oh,
diagnose the
of
problem.
course, of course. And
Yeah,
if your page
really
will
interesting.
go with 500 error response, visual testing will pick it up as well. So anything that will be shown as visual change, it will pick up. So it's a good way just to validate that even your pages work.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it was really easy to set that. It asked me, like, do you do Drupal? Do you do WordPress? Obviously, but yeah, there was no installed the module. I got it running on my site in about five clicks or something. It wasn't, even as being a non-technical person, I could have done that and just put the URL in here, and it would have, Scott, that was a really easy thing to get set up. And I suppose it's a bit easier to sort of show this to a stakeholder or a product owner or a client, and so this is what it does. And I'm sure we've used this at some agencies I've worked at before. It's either Diffie or something similar before, but you could immediately show it to a client and they can understand it. Whereas probably with a unit test or functional test or kernel test, like, they're not really going to see or understand the value in that. And that's not to say there isn't any value, but something visual that people can see is probably, just a bit easier, a bit of an easier sell in a way. It's not the right phrase, but easier to justify or to explain, maybe committed to some, like, unit testing that's, oh, you're just writing more code. But I can see this being really, really interesting to show people.
I totally agree. Visual testing is great for ex like showing your client your work, because when you run an update, imagine that something went wrong and something got broken, and then you fix it, and then something else got broken. In some cases, updates can go smooth, and then you need to explain to your client, like, okay, this update we spent 10 hours, but this update time we spent 2 hours. Like, the question you will get asked, like, okay, why?
Why? Yeah, always why.
Right? And then you can show, like, this is our first run. These are the screenshots of the pages that got broken, and this is the second run. And then by the run number four, we actually got everything fixed. These are the comparisons. These are the timestamps. Like, it was difficult because the site was this and that. Like, maybe there was some combination of the modules that didn't play nicely, or there was some theming that you needed to adjust. So you have actually a very nice track of things that you changed. This is where visual testing can be great. Another thing that I wanted to mention, as you were talking about your developer background, is that I also being asked about, okay, what about local environments? Because people sometimes want to actually do the visual test even before committing anything to GitHub or your repository and then spinning up all the environments. So the key to that is that you can have tools like ngrok or some other tunneling. And the way it works, let's say you use DDEV as your local environment setup. It has single command, and you get a publicly accessible URL to point to your local environment. And in this way, you can paste that URL in Diffie and start taking screenshots from that URL. The only caveat there is that you need to make sure that you're not overloading the tunnel. And in Diffie, you can specify the number of workers that will be hitting that environment. So if you do it with local environment, make sure that you decrease the number to maybe one or two workers. It will take longer, but your screenshot will be consistent, and you will not get into throttling in on ngrok level.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of settings I'm seeing here. There's settings for performance. I can change the number of workers or bots. I can see for different environments. I can do things like delays and scrolling. I can tell scrolling, it seems like on and off. I can set custom headers, except monitoring. And yeah, even except different breakpoints for it to check as well. So it's all really interesting. The thing I think I like is, it says, like, you're on step number three of like five or six steps. So the next thing it's time to do is add somebody into my team. So in theory, I could add a stakeholder or a PO or I could a client and get them, add them to a team, and have them seemingly also set as a reviewer, which is would be really interesting, because then I can add them to this and they can log in and see this themselves.
Absolutely. And idea is that once you have the comparison, you can have someone to review it, mark things as bugs or not bugs. Once you finish the review, you can have even a ticket created in your ticketing system. So we have Zapier integration, And you can hook it up with your, I don't know, Jira as an example. So once you finish the review, with one click, you can create a ticket in your ticketing system. It does take a little bit of configuration, but there are integrations on that part as well. And another thing is that you can have shareable URLs. So person even doesn't need to have a login in order to open the review and see what the changes are. So those URLs can be used in your tickets. So your development team just can pick it up and start working on it.
That's cool. Yeah, I can see the one I've clicked for myself is on an S3 bucket, I suppose. Yeah, S3.amazon. So yeah, you could have that, link that, or even maybe attach that to the ticket if there's an integration for it. That would be really interesting. Cool. Yeah, I can see a few use cases for this. I think I'm going to go away from this and yeah, suggest this to a few people because yeah, it could be really, really useful, interesting for them.
Another thing that we've seen, well, it's pretty unique to Diffy that we can take screenshots as logged in user. So imagine you would like to take screenshots from your backend where you create the content, because like different roles might have different permissions, and you can check even that functionality. So instead of like single project for one website, if you want to check a backend, you can have the same project, but for role A and then for the role B and then for role C, and the list of URLs might be different. But you can check things even like if my media library loads properly, because you can inject a little JavaScript that will click on the button, embed the image, and then your pop-up with media library will show up. And with visual testing, you can ensure that that still works.
Okay.
So that's another opportunity to improve your test coverage, not only the public facing part of the site, but also the things that editors see.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I can see some doing that with something like Cypress or Behat, but yeah, being able just to do it through something like Diffy would be really, really interesting. That's cool. I guess you need to have a user account, I guess, for it to log in with. So you need to set up something specifically for that user rather than giving it, like, again, come back to earlier on, you would want to give it administrative permissions or anything, but you could make a user that just says, like, can view this page. And I suppose you just put those credentials into Diffy then, and it knows how to log in as that user.
Of course, of course. And then you probably want to have those logins only on your test environments and builds, not the production. So you're as secure as possible.
Yeah, I could see that being a problem there. Yeah, we have some automated bot logging into our website and clicking around. That would probably scare a lot of people. Yeah.
Yes, but you're in control, so.
Yeah, indeed. And I think, yeah, like Eric was saying, it's easier to have it's more reliable for an automated tool to go and do things. It's going to do the same thing every time. And whereas people could potentially do something different, run a different command by accident or something, or a different command for a different project or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
Cool. Anything else you wanted to talk about? Any other cool features that we should talk about? Anything coming to it on the roadmap?
Well, we have a lot of things that we have on roadmap, and actually people are coming with like fantastic ideas. I think in the next couple of months, we'll be enhancing our team functionality in terms of like collaborating. If you have a larger team, to see who is doing what, like reviews, etc., like maybe helping with the project settings pages, because there are a lot of things to test there. But again, it's all what I try to do right now. It should be all driven by the customers. So whenever we see that, well, this feature would be useful for like more customers, then we start building it. So more feedback we collect, better product becomes. I would like also to mention that we have a lot of integrations with other systems. So we have, as an example, a lot of documentation about how you can use Tugboat and their environments, and how you can set up in GitHub with the Tugboat, spin up environment, test it there. And the same we have with Pantheon Multidev, with Platform SH, with other systems. So if you will see something that we don't have documentation about, I'm very interested in building the integration. So we cover more and more cases, and it's easier and easier for other Drupal developers to start using the tool.
Very good. This has been a really, really interesting conversation. I've learned a lot during the discussion. And yeah, so I'm going to go and suggest using Diffie and some visual automated testing to other people and just layer that on top of the testing I've already got. So yeah, I've learned a lot. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
So Diffie.website is the website. So I guess that would be a good place to send people. Is there anything else? If people want to ask questions or want to try it out, is there any other place for them to go? What would you suggest?
No, I think that's the best place. If you have any questions, there's an intercom chat in the app that you can hit, and I will be more than happy to jump on the call to discuss anything you have questions about or answer in chat. And I try to record like Loom videos for the customers when they start using the tool, and I see that there are some settings that can be fine-tuned to improve the experience. And if any questions, let me know. I'm happy to answer them.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining me today. It's been a really interesting conversation. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I've been Oliver Davis. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.